Hello,
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 hello, hola. Everyone.
Hola, hola.
And welcome back to our first ever podcast. And we're talking about greenwashing today, and we're all very excited that you're here. And hopefully you learned something. Maybe you know about greenwashing.
I like how to make money with greenwashing.
Ooh. Oh, we're going to talk about that, no?
Right.
That's why we are here.
The secret plan of this podcast.
Yeah. But I think before talking about greenwashing, we should talk about ourselves a little bit.
People don't know us. First episode.
I totally agree. I think we should start with a little introduction of who we are, mm-hmm. where we're from, and maybe what our personal connection to climate change is, mm-hmm. why we study it, why it's impacted our lives. So I will go first. My name is Olivia.
Hello, Olivia.
Hi, everyone. I am from Canada and now living in Germany doing this master's program, and I want to tell you a little story how climate change has impacted my life and why I care about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was a few days before my 7th birthday. I was living in a small town, not too small, in Canada, and a very large wildfire broke out, started via lightning strike. And then the fire was fueled by extreme winds, and it was the driest summer on record up to that time. Past that point now, it's been a lot drier and a lot hotter.
So don't feel as special then.
No, but it is. So this was in 2003 and I was 6 years old. And this fire started, and I remember we got evacuated from our house. And I remember our neighbor at the time and a close family friend was a logger and had this logging company, and he got adverted from logging to like help with the wildfire to build a fire break. And I don't know if you know what a fire break is, but what it is, mm-hmm. it's like essentially a form to fight the fire by creating like a big bulldozed area like in the forest to actually break the fire so that if it gets to that point, it won't jump over that fire
like a
break.
A gap in the trees,
exactly. Yeah. So they pulled a bunch of loggers with all this big heavy machinery onto this fire to try and create a fire break. And I remember the night we got evacuated...
Sorry, Constance was yawning. We are crying.
I remember he called us in the middle of the night. He was like, we had friends or his kids who were living next door at the time were alone because their dad was working on this fire. And he called us in the middle of the night and he was like, the fire is coming. Go get my kids and leave right now. And then sure enough, like that night, everyone got evacuated. We were already out of there, but you could see like this huge wall of fire like coming over the side of the mountain close to our house. Over 230 houses burned in this fire. 30,000 people got evacuated, and the fire was over 250 square kilometers, which is like a very large area. Mm-hmm. But I had to spend my 7th birthday in a parking lot.
The sadness fire is...
It's not a house.
It's my birthday, in a park.
No, luckily our house did not burn down. But it was, I think I had the realization early on. I was like, something is going on in the world. I don't know what it is, but this is not normal and this should not be happening. And this is why I care about climate change.
Wow.
This is, in many ways, a really sad, sad story. Caro, what is your sad story?
I mean, if you're expecting like a really sad story,
we want to cry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carolina. I'm from Mexico City. I mean, I was born there, but I used to live in Querétaro. Like, it's like 2 hours away from Mexico City. And somehow, I don't have like a really sad story why... since when I'm involved with climate change. I just know that happened because in Mexico we have a lot of problems like climate change consequences, like really bad. Like, for example, we don't have water right now, or we are always fighting with floods or droughts or earthquakes too. Nowadays they are super strong. In 2017 we had like the last one that it was super super strong. It was almost 8 point something, and my university like fell down, and
really?
I couldn't continue studying that campus because I didn't have a school, like didn't have buildings. Yeah, I was taking a class. I was like in the 3rd floor, and then the earthquake started, but then we have these alarms, like seismic alarms. And I don't know, I mean, I know why, like the fail started in another state, not like the normal one. So the alarms were not ringing. So no one knew that there was going to be an earthquake. So I was taking a class normally, and then this earthquake started, and then it was so heavy that I couldn't evacuate the building.
So you were in the building while the earthquake...
I was in the building, yeah, and I remember how the walls were, like, separating between them because it was so heavy. Yeah, I thought I was going to die, like, for real, you know? Like, because also, like, all the... yeah, like, was falling down.
Like,
so I, like, my instinct was to...
What the fuck?
Yeah, my instinct was to just pull a chair and hide my head.
Yeah.
Because somehow I was like, okay, if I'm conscious, then I can do something. But if I'm not, then I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I couldn't, like, evacuate a building. And then I was traumatized, like, for I don't know how long. I couldn't sleep in my room because, I mean, my room, it was your second floor, but I needed to sleep, like, on the living room that it was exactly, in the living room that it was exactly next to the door of my house.
Wow.
Yeah, what? I needed to go to psychologists, like, a lot of therapies. I had a yeah, because also, like, 5 guys in my university dead.
Yeah, I was just gonna
they
ask if there were any fatalities.
Yeah, because, like, all the building, it's not like this, like, if you want to go to another building, you need to get out and then cross the street. No, yeah. Like, the buildings there were connected with bridges. Mm. So, exactly, the bridges are where next to Starbucks at our Demensa that we know here, like, the four bridges fell down and 5 guys died. And, like,
and that's the start of the 5 guys burger
shit. Maybe.
Continue yeah. crying about your 7th birthday. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Was this earthquake in somehow related to climate change, or was this natural? Because I know I was just studying about earthquakes being caused at the Dead Sea Fault due to drawing down water in an mm-hmm. aquifer, and it causes,
yeah,
like, seismic activity.
Somehow Mexico City was built, like, on a lake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since forever and always. And they have seen, because all the water are, like, they are, like,
extracting
the water. Yeah. So nowadays, like, it's, like, really complicated to build, like, houses or even buildings. And I don't know why, like, also there's corruption when they need to build something, you know, like, because they want to get money. The material they use is not the best one, like, the best quality and a lot of things. But then, yeah, and it's also because of this. And also they have seen, like, a lot of earthquakes have been, like, really, like, increased the magnitude since some years ago.
Mm.
So nowadays, it's always, like, we always have earthquakes. But then, like, nowadays they are, like, really strong. So I can say that it's, like,
maybe.
I don't know, like, since always I have been touched with climate change problems or consequences. But that's me.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a great
story.
Can you
tell us about your first developed country?
Tell about Europe.
Where are you from, Constantine?
Hello, I'm Constantine. I'm actually born in Moldova. I grew up in a farmyard, actually, in southern Germany, surrounded by, like, farm fields and a lot of monoculture forest. And actually, like, it's really a stark contrast to your stories, because I really remember as a child when watching the news, seeing the reports of the hazards you actually told about, I was thinking, well, around me nothing like this seems to happen, so I seem to be living in a real, like, safe and secure country. So I don't have, like, these super, super sad stories, which is also, like, in a good way, right? We don't want people to
have to make a change because of their past. Maybe some people just want to make the world better, even though they haven't been that impacted.
Yeah.
Like Consti.
Yeah. For me, my story, my connection to climate change is that if there were no climate change and basically no global injustice, my interest in science and physics kind of was the thing that made it possible for me to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this was kind of my big dream, when I realized that climate change is a thing and what the dimension of climate change is, kind of, I wanted to do something against that. And so kind of I just abandoned my dreams that I had for like 10 years and reorientated basically my studies, my professional goals, my free time to tackle climate change.
Yeah, and you've become a great activist, I think, in this space.
Yeah,
going
true.
To
yeah.
yeah, more than us.
Yeah, actually. I don't know, like, in Mexico I was not that involved. I think here neither, but I mean, sometimes, like, in Mexico, I didn't have any friends. Like, it's not that common.
Yeah, activism isn't as big,
common.
I guess, in Canada as well.
I think Germany is kind of an expert of
yeah,
being, like, this kind
of... kind
of
at the forefront
yeah.
of
True.
Activism
and
in a lot of ways.
And I would also say, like, I, as a white cis male, I don't have the...
I didn't want to say that, but I was thinking about that.
I didn't have this the extra burden of first fighting for
your rights.
My rights.
Mm.
I can just start fighting for climate change.
But somehow I have seen, like, I know, I mean, with this podcast, that's why, like, I think that's the main purpose of the podcast. Like, a lot of people could know or could learn that we have a lot of problems around the world. It's not only, like, your country, that's not the world, you know? Like, if you don't have any climate change consequence right now, that doesn't mean that climate change doesn't exist.
Exactly. Totally.
Paola?
Yeah, it's Pallister.
Ah, yeah, Pallister's a water
problem. What other kind of problems do you have, Paola?
My childhood.
My mom and I.
Yeah, my name is Paola. I am from Canary Islands.
Hello, Paola.
We are an archipelago, kind of into the Atlantic and really close to the Sahara Desert.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we have a really special climate, as I like to call it.
Special, just like you.
Yes, yeah, like me.
Weird.
I know. Loud.
We have islands that are super dry. And we have islands that are super wet, like the ones inside of the Atlantic have like this kind of more raining weather. And then we have three of them that are more like a desert. So you can see how special we are.
Which one do you live on? A dry one or a wet one?
I live in one that is getting dry.
Ah, getting dry.
Yeah. And this is common in volcanic islands because they get old and they get a lot of erosion with the wind. But the thing is, it's a slow process that it's getting faster because climate change. Where I live, we have water problems. Like last year, we started cutting water in some places in the island. And I think our problem is not only connected to climate change, also we have a lot of social problems, as Constance mentioned. So sometimes people in the islands really don't believe in climate change because they think the problem is another one. And they cannot connect and there are all the problems together at the end.
Like, but which type of problems, I think?
For example, we have a massive tourist right now that is really not helping the
local climate.
Yeah, like the water we have is not enough for the people in the island. And if you continue building, like making more hotels or whatever, and you continue inviting people to come to the island, then it's normal. They're super beautiful. I understand that they want to come here. But the thing is, like, it's not sustainable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because last summer we started with the water cuts and now the problem is, like, the hotels don't get treatment.
So it's
only
just
the local people get this treatment.
Yeah.
And also the destruction of the natural places, it becomes faster also, not only because climate change, also because of tourists. So we have, like, this mix of really two big problems. And, yeah, like, I think I don't have any sad story about climate change in my life.
I mean, that's sad.
That
like,
sad.
Yeah.
Sad enough, I think.
But I remember,
yeah,
like,
you're allowed in this podcast.
Like, month before COVID, we normally have these sandstorms that came from the Sahara Desert, and they're kind of normal. We live with that. We have a super bad
air quality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Our lunch was like shit.
Yeah.
But this one was that big that it was impossible to go out of the house. Like, people weren't able to see in the street.
So these sandstorms are getting worse.
Yeah, they're getting strong, and the problem is, like, normally the wind pushed them into the Atlantic.
Yeah.
But climate change is getting affected also to the wind. So the wind is not that strong.
It's getting windier, yeah.
No, it's not. Like, we are losing wind.
Enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it gets stuck in the island.
Mm, I see.
So we were wearing masks before COVID. It
we
was
were prepared.
Like, we were on train for a month.
Well, that's
so
great.
Yeah, I think that's something that really traumatized me. Don't be able to go out with my friends because this was happening.
Yeah. And it's just going to get worse from here.
Yeah.
Yay. And that brings us into our next segment.
thanks for crying with us.
Now we can focus on greenwashing because this is what our podcast today is about. So just to be on the same page, Consti, would you mind maybe sharing the definition of greenwashing with us?
Sure, right. So there's like several definitions for greenwashing, asking scientists, but basically they all agree on that greenwashing is the act of misleading consumers about the environmental practices of a company or the environmental benefit of their products or services. So
False advertising
is an example. It's even more as like fraud.
And should be illegal.
Yeah, and we talk about this later on. And the thing is that greenwashing is not only limited to companies, which we will also later look at a few examples. It can also be done by governments or other entities. So yeah, so scientifically speaking, like greenwashing like sits at the intersection to like firm behaviors like, between their like poor environmental performances of a company on the one hand, and on the other hand, their positive communication about their environmental efforts in services and products.
So we can say that greenwashing is always bad then? Like a summary for our listeners?
It comes with a negative connotation, yeah. Greenwashing. Yeah. Mm. There's a difference between greenwashing and companies that are actually doing positive things for sustainability. Mm. These are two very different things.
And I would also say, why do companies even do greenwashing? And the reasons are that, like, because there's like a growing public awareness for climate change, for products being more ecologically responsible. The companies that don't want to really do something, they rather want to focus like on their overall image, mm-hmm. and their reputation. And they kind of also want to mislead about their own like strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like a term called dark greenwashing, which means like the companies want to cover up hidden illegal activities.
Mm-hmm. How could they do this? Like how... and. What's an example? Do you have an example of hiding?
I don't want
activities?
To say nothing, but in my part, we will have some examples of
Good to know.
Yeah, one of the that I also will talk about, like we also talk about.
So dark greenwashing. Because I don't even know what this is. This is exciting.
Okay. So.
Knowing this?
Thank you, Consti.
Yeah. So knowing this, we can talk about some true, false greenwashing facts. So in this segment, I will say you some like examples and you will say to me greenwashing or not, and then I will explain to you the reason of the answer.
Okay.
And so our audience can also guess like us.
You can pause or you can debate with us.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You can deliberate.
You can call us stupid because we don't know the answer.
Maybe no more
with
than
the addition we can put like a clock.
Yeah.
In the next
so we have like a time so our listeners can answer the question.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I will say the first one. Food company have their own eco-friendly certification. What do you think about this?
Greenwashing.
I think 100%. I think we should say why we think it's greenwashing. If they're making up their own standards, they can make up anything. Like, anything could be eco-friendly based on their own company standards.
That's why I'm saying greenwashing.
Okay, so what do you think?
I also agree that it's definitely greenwashing, and it kind of leads in the confusion that I, as a consumer, have looking at 1,000 different labels.
Yeah.
Being in a grocery store and thinking...
We shouldn't have to do our own research on this. If we see eco-friendly, we should think... oh, it's good for the environment. We don't have to look at scientific papers to see if this is true or not. So it's very misleading.
So is the eco-friendly label greenwashing or not?
It is greenwashing. And
yay!
Actually, Deep explained it so good that I don't need to explain it to you.
They make up their own standards, which
but
could be anything.
But do you know which company, which food company is that
one? Starbucks. Do it with the coffee.
Like fair trade or?
Like fair trade of coffee and
really?
Also like how they develop the coffee there, like how sustainable they are with the plantations.
Yeah, that's just a bit...
Okay, but I would say this
funny.
Was a fairly easy question.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I like you
I mean,
to
easy
get
for
confident.
You, but maybe for our listeners, they don't know about anything. So
okay, this is another easy one. Buying a beer product that came from another country.
For English speakers or any other speakers, she said bio.
Ah, yeah.
A bio product.
Buying bio products when they come.
This is like Paola creates new words and
whenever.
And it's so funny, so you can laugh with us. It's
you
funny.
Can know them if you hear the whole podcast. You can get them by context.
You just need to spend enough time around her to understand what she means.
You can't.
I don't know.
This is good practice
you know,
for our listeners
fact.
To understand different accents.
This is our C2.
Right.
Listening in English.
We can bring like to the other international listeners, like Nirmal, Celine, like everybody, like.
Yeah, totally.
We speak really different, I think.
Yes.
Like,
it's good practice.
Okay,
so
talking about other countries.
Yes.
This week I went to a supermarket and I got a bio avocado from Mexico City. What do you think?
Mexico City?
I don't know, girl.
Because in Mexico City we don't have avocado.
Yeah, I was just going to say
<Free fighting.
laughs> Mexico without the
there's
city.
There's some red flakes going on
like,
in my head.
Mexico City with avocados in Mexico.
I'm going to say greenwashing just because...
It's from Mexico City.
I guess that's the example, but just because this podcast is about greenwashing.
Because I should say greenwashing.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say it's a bit more complicated than the first question about the labels, as it kind of compares the production process in other country, like all the emissions happening like to transport things compared to producing your products, your vegetables in like locally.
Yes.
But I have a thing to say. Like, there are some international laws that are called ISO. For sure you know about ISO because they are international ones. So something like a good fact to know is like in Mexico we have the same
laws.
She's
taking my part.
I am sorry.
No, no,
I mean,
no.
Like in Mexico I was working
we're
with
just
this
so,
kind of
so well versed
with this kind of laws or norms. So somehow, like, if it doesn't matter if I come from Mexico and the things come to, the products come from Mexico or whatever, it doesn't matter the country. If they follow these kind of norms, it's the same, you know, because they are a standard for around the world, like worldwide.
Okay.
So
that's
Paola,
a good distinction.
What's the solution for
so
our
So it's greenwashing.
Yes.
Because they can be bioproducts, like the process to get them can be the most sustainable ones, everything perfect, but the problem is we also need to take care about the CO2 problem, like how much need this avocado to came here.
Yeah,
and
the transport,
yeah,
CO2, even though maybe it's bio in this country because it's being transported from Mexico City to Germany. This is like a very far distance.
Mexico City doesn't have avocados. Learn this.
So normally they put this big thing about bioproducts to try to hide the country where this food came from.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Good to know.
They always will put the green bigger than the country.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So if you see a bioproduct that's from a country where
from
you
Mexico
don't
City?
Live, Mexico City, Argentina, anywhere, Costa Rica, it's probably not bio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I actually noticed living in Germany that people, compared to living in Canada, people are much more aware of like where their food and produce is coming from here. Mm. Like not that many people are buying avocados in Germany, I find in general, because they know it's coming from Mexico or like somewhere far away. People are much more
local
focused
products.
On local products. But
our German products.
Yeah,
like,
so
pommes.
Apples and potatoes.
Kartoffels.
So proud of their German produce. But yes, I notice that big difference because in Canada, you can buy avocados
yeah,
at any time of the
yeah.
year. They're
yeah,
always ripe. They're
true.
Always perfect.
Yeah.
There's so many and like everyone is buying them all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Yeah.
But
so
like,
in Canada, you're freezing off your ass
and eating
nowhere.
Avocados. Yeah.
What a good life, I guess.
It's nice. Okay, on to the next.
Yeah.
We have one more, right?
We have one
on
more
segment.
So, talking about
bit
trees.
Bit of a sidetrack there.
Yeah, like, we have one more and then a bonus one. But, so, the last one, we are talking about planting trees, not avocado ones. We have this that now is like super on trend. Like every time you buy something, they will plant a tree.
Mm-hmm.
This now must be not greenwashing, as there's something ecologically happening if you buy something.
No, greenwashing.
Right?
I don't trust.
I'm skeptical of, I think, everything that I see.
Yeah.
So I would say it's greenwashing.
So actually, they plant the trees. So they are like.
So for every time you search on this search engine called Ecosia or whatever it is, I can't remember the search engine, but it says for every time you search something,
they will
a tree
plant
is planted.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah, they will plant a tree. That's true.
I don't believe it.
I think that's so crazy.
But the problem is not like they plant a tree. Like they can do that, of course.
Yeah.
The problem is like they normally make monocultive.
Monoculture, yeah.
Yeah, they don't reconstruct like an ecosystem. They don't decide to go to Mexico and go to this forest to kind of...
Same one or what?
No, they plant the same one. That's the problem.
Yeah, like...
A forest is not always the same tree.
And these this
true.
Monoculture is probably used for timber. Like it's probably being logged in 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
Which is like tree planting in Canada is like... All monoculture, this forest grows for 20 years and then it's all cut down and then it happens again. So you feel like you're doing something
but
by
not,
planting trees,
but
this
it's
does nothing for the ecosystem.
Yeah, because actually you're destroying the ecosystem
yeah.
because
then,
you are like kind of creating a new one.
But then also I think like, okay, I plant a tree, but then who
waters
somehow, you know? I just plant and then I go away,
that,
you know?
Well,
like,
that's also what happens.
Yeah.
They plant them too close together so they can't even grow because they're right beside
and
each other.
That's
they
super
don't
bad
have
for
nutrients.
Fire. In Canary Islands, the fires get so big because they plan everything so, so close together, then they burn.
So then is this technically greenwashing?
It is.
If it's but true. It's
it is greenwashing.
It's like on the line. Okay.
It's greenwashing because at the end, I think the solution for this is not planting the same tree.
No.
Maybe you should send the money for organizations that take care of forests or planting trees that are part of the ecosystem of the forest that you are helping. No, always an apple tree. Like, I don't think whatever lion will like an apple tree in the middle of Sahara only because you are planting fucking trees.
And also, like, if as a customer, if I want to buy something and then I see that the company is doing something pro the environment, then I do it like
more
happier, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm buying, but at the same time I'm helping, and then that they somehow they are lying, that's kind of sad.
That's the part of the greenwashing, like try to make you feel better buying the things when actually you are not doing nothing better.
It's a sad story. Anyways, let's
Anyway,
let's talk more about greenwashing.
So are you prepared for a bonus part so we can see who
give us more
win?
I think we're 3 for 3 right now.
I already said it's greenwashing. I don't care. Greenwashing. Everything is greenwashing.
So we have a company that promoted zero waste company in some countries.
Greenwashing.
I'm going to leave it like
zero
that.
Zero waste.
Companies. There is no way.
Greenwashing.
There is no way.
Yeah, greenwashing. What's a company?
Beep!
Look!
You're talking about Pepsi Cola.
Yeah.
Fritz Cola. Fritz Cola here. Fritz Cola.
So the company is Coca-Cola.
Shocking.
Greenwashing.
They have a real company, a campaign called Zero Waste.
Okay.
And the problem is, like, they highlight how good they are recycling and the waste reduction is, like, is this chef.
Just think about how many people are consuming Coca-Colas a day in the entire world. There's so many. But how could they be zero waste?
In some countries.
It's recycled, right? Paula?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, like, actually they are doing things. But the point is, like, they say they are, like, these big companies doing this hard work when actually it's what they have to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's what they, like, the government
like
demands to them.
They're required to do it.
Exactly, but they kind of make it like a cute look, thing, like, look how good I am. It's not because it's the minimum
doing.
I have to do. It's because I am doing it.
Because we care about the environment.
Yeah it's like a... I don't want to say the example I have in my brain. Okay, continue.
but I think Carol will talk more about Coca-Cola.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I have more questions about how it's being recycled, etc., etc. But I think that's a good segment into our
next...
We're going to start
talking about Coca-Cola. Like,
okay, yeah.
So let me...
Can we give like the segment like a name? For the,
our next segment.
Our next segment is like examples with Carol. Woo! I don't know.
Examples!
So scientific
example.
Case studies with Carol.
Case studies with Carol.
This is good.
Beautiful. Okay, let's get into it.
Okay, Coca-Cola. Paula, you already said something about like,
how they're so smart.
Okay, Coca-Cola has been accused, of greenwashing.
What?
Already...
No way.
No, really?
Really?
Oh,
if you,
my jaw is
Coca-Cola,
on the floor.
Throw that Coca-Cola right now!
So, yeah, the company has promoted, like, different recycle or zero waste
initiatives.
Yeah, activities.
Minimum they have to do.
Yeah. But then a lot of people have, like, criticized them. Why are you doing this if it's the minimum you can do, as Paula said? Okay, but what is, like, why are they criticized? In 2018, it was launched this World Without Waste. It's supposed that...
Catchy tagline.
Yeah.
World Without Waste.
Because we
care.
Only control Coca-Cola. They don't control Pepsi, and it's actually really good.
Yeah. Okay, so the initiative also includes goals to make 100% of its packaging recyclable. That word.
Recyclable.
By 2025.
You should have confidence.
25.
Sorry for interrupting here, but shouldn't it already be all recyclable? Like, shouldn't cans be recyclable? Shouldn't plastic bottles be recyclable? Is it actually not recyclable?
No, they are not.
Okay,
I mean,
perfect.
I have seen that only in Germany. I think, in my opinion, they have a really good system talking about, like, wasting, waste. Like,
yeah,
how
Germans
they plan and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally.
But for real, the only... I mean, if you want to say something, maybe say, like, Germany is really good at this and they are not. But better than my country, they are. I mean, that's 100% sure.
Germany has a recycling system, yes.
It's really good, I think, compared to a lot of other places.
It's that good that Germany is shipping out a lot of its trash to other countries.
Same with Canada.
Indonesia,
China. I think China's
the continent of Africa, they have like several countries that are...
Or just dumping it in the ocean.
Yeah.
So it's part of the German recycling solution is definitely just move the problem to other countries and we pay them.
Yeah.
So anyway, Coca-Cola.
Okay, but also the criticizing is because they are saying like, why are you focusing just in the recycling part but not in reducing? You know, like why do you keep like doing these massive products and not like reduce the massive products, you know what I mean? But then also like the part like what Coca-Cola says or things, you want me to cut my production? You want me to I don't know how many bottles per day they do, but a lot. And what they are saying, like, there's no way I will stop producing.
They
but also,
never.
Like, people are like, yeah, but how many plastic, how much water you are using, and stuff like that. So like, the critics are like, because of this, because instead of thinking about recycling, they should think about reducing. But then somehow Coca-Cola has, like, another point, like, talking about, like, they don't want to lose money, of course.
Yeah.
So that, like,
no big corporation wants to lose
money.
So
yeah.
That's why they greenwash.
And I think another really big part is like the amount of water they use.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they are water neutral.
Just water neutral, yeah.
Neutral. And it's supposed that the same amount of water used in its beverages back to communities and nature.
Just such an ominous thing.
So they are like, who is the owner of this system, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can say like, oh, I just wasted 2 liters of water and these 2 liters I'm gonna give them back. But who knows for real, who's tracking this? Exactly.
Yeah.
Who knows for real, like, the amount of water they are using. Mm-hmm. And also it's well known that some plants...
But they are not, like, it's not mandatory for them to publish these numbers?
No, it's
in
not,
some
like,
countries,
in some countries. For example, in Mexico, we have some factories, and it's really funny how in Mexico City, we are dealing with this water problem, but at the same time, these big factories, government doesn't cut water from there, you know?
Also for Corona, I've heard this.
Yeah, Corona, it's like, we have a lot of factories in Mexico, and it's really funny how they want to go there because workers are, like, cheaper than in their own countries,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, we don't have enough resources to produce all the things they have. We have a lot of, like, companies from cars, like Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen, Audi, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then also we have a lot of beverages companies,
mm-hmm.
and so it's really funny how the water, how they use the water, but at the same time, no one asks for anything, you know? No
yeah.
one knows exactly how the amount of water they use or stuff like that.
So Coca-Cola claims this initiative that they have, World Without Waste, is committing by 2025 that all of its packaging will be recyclable.
But then it's also like, in which countries, you know?
Yeah,
like,
what do we think? Do we think this is true or false? Do you think that
false.
By next year, every Coca-Cola package will be... recyclable?
Can have a sticker than say it, but maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Actually, Coca-Cola has a water brand that we have in Mexico. It's called
Ciel. We have it in Gran Canaria.
It's called Ciel. And I don't have a water bottle, but it says like, I was made with recycled material.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel it, it's kind of different than the normal water bottles. But then I read also that it's tricky, that they just change like the material, but at the end it's not that it's recycled.
But also, if you want to recycle a bottle, yeah, you need a lot of energy and a lot of
water
too. So sometimes it's not really worth it.
Yeah.
So... like in a green way, like it's worth to recycling and do the bottle with another bottle than actually do a new one.
Yeah.
Reuse instead of recycle.
Yeah, totally.
Like you
increase
can,
the life cycle of your product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can use this bottle for other things than need less energy and water and whatever.
Yeah.
Instead of doing a new bottle, then it will
totally.
Be
and,
worse.
And adding to all the things you already mentioned, the recycling process is not that straightforward. I think you just say as public... just recycle, but like what you really can recycle, put back into the system of like at the start of your new production of a new bottle is complicated, and you cannot just like use any kind of plastics. You also cannot use like your plastic bottle. You cannot recycle the plastic bottles like on and on forever. Yeah, exactly. Like a diminishing return. Like this goes for any plastic things.
They have a life. They're not forever.
Yeah.
Except like plastic is basically forever. Like,
it doesn't degrade.
Like for many hundred years.
Yeah, I mean the process of trying to recycle
it. Exactly.
Like, future, so many times.
Future civilizations will see that when they dig out like a bit of earth, you will see like there's a layer.
In the Anthropocene layer.
The Anthropocene
a dinosaur.
Layer. Yeah. Be, instead of this dinosaur.
A coke. The next example I have, it's Volkswagen. Like, everybody knows.
How you pronounce it?
Who is Volkswagen? How do you pronounce it? It's German.
Volvi.
Volvi.
Volkswagen.
What do you call it?
Volkswagen.
Yeah, in Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
Because you read it like V.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so do you want to say that car that my parents have,
the
company, the company his car my parents have,
is and a piece I, and of I do like Volkswagen, like,
I love Volkswagen. I'll come out and say
I have
it.
A big tattoo in my ass of Volkswagen.
You can show it right now.
So what's up with Volkswagen?
If you didn't know, in 2015...
Every time you say Volkswagen, for me it's like, Volkswagen!
Yeah, but it's foul. In 2015, this company was involved in a big scandal, Dieselgate.
I've heard of this.
Yeah,
maybe
too.
You heard, but you don't know exactly what happened because it was the same for me. You know that this company has like several brands, you know? It's not only this one. You have Audi, Seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Volkswagen, whatever. Okay, so around 11 million cars. Imagine the amount of cars.
Vehicles.
Like 11 million of cars in with different brands between 2009 and 2015 were like, how can... They had this subword in its diesel vehicles that manipulated emissions tests to make the cars appear more environmental friendly than they were actual like they actually were.
Yeah.
So the company used to promote these cars as a clean car or eco-friendly car, and indeed that was not. And then actually they were emitting up to 40 times more pollutants than legally allowed.
Wow, so they had this software on their vehicles showing what they were emitting in quotation marks, but then once it was actually tested, it showed that they were emitting 40 times more.
It's not 1.5 to
no,
it's 40 times. 40 times.
It's a very
more,
significant
amount.
My father works
Charlotte,
as a
right?
Mechanist.
Yeah.
And he's the people who control the cars every year to know if they can continue being in the public side. And I remember that when this came out in his work, the Volkswagen cars needed to have like another appointment. Like for 3 months, they didn't pass any car that came from Volkswagen because they need to check the machine and change them.
And then like
if you
might think like, oh, who started or who did the test? It was the International Council on Clean Transportation in West Virginia University. And they
bravo to them for finding this out.
It was 2012 when they determined to extend the discrepancies in diesel vehicles emissions. And as a result of this big problem, 4.3 billion fine was imposed by the U.S. Department of Justice.
On Volkswagen.
But only in United States. Like,
really?
I didn't find, like, what happened with other countries in case they also had this problem.
Mm-hmm.
This was only in United States. And in United States were 52,000 people affected with this thing. And they had the option to return the car or, and also get repaired, like, within normal software. But imagine, like, for me, like 4.3 billion is like
peanuts.
Not that much. Like,
yeah,
you can
for
do
what they're doing, yeah.
Like, really, dude, only 4.3. And then the owner will be like, oh, you can give me your car and I will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing is, so in 2020, Volkswagen revealed that this so-called Dieselgate on a global scale cost them 35 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That is nothing for them, no?
That's a pretty big amount of money.
It's a lot.
That's
a
huge amount. How does this make you feel because Volkswagen is a German company?
He don't give a fuck.
I'd like to remove my Volkswagen tattoo from my ass.
You can send money to the next number to get to get the tattoo out.
The laser.
Yeah, we will pay for the laser.
But then I don't know, like, okay, I understand, like, they needed to pay almost $35 billion, or it is dollars, right? But then since the beginning,
why would they do it? Imagine
that meeting, you know, like, you are with the big engineers and you're developing a lot of things, and then one stupid guy arrives and he's like, oh, I just created a new software, it's super cool, blah blah blah, and everybody agreed with that, you know,
because of the money.
Everybody was like really happy about, yeah, we have the best software ever, we're gonna sell a lot of cars, you know. And then this happened, and it's not like the first year you realize, you know what, there is a problem with the software. No, it was not the first year. They needed to wait. They sell the cars between 2009 and 2015. You have a lot of time to realize that something was happening. Yeah. And then just because a university that has nothing to do started a test.
But I think they did it because they wanted us to talk about this.
Yeah,
maybe.
For sure.
But us as consumers are putting so much... what's the word? We're
talking with the no English speakers.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know.
But I get your point. Like,
what's
we're putting so much trust on these corporations doing the right thing. And the only, like, we only realize that they're lying to us when some small university decides just for fun to test it.
Yeah.
And then we realize that everything that Volkswagen has told us for the last several years has been a lie.
But that's
because
part of
the
greenwashing.
Exactly, this is greenwashing.
Make you feel good because you are like doing something good, but actually it's not good.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm really sad. Volkswagen. Volkswagen.
I mean, I also feel really good when I buy new things. I mean,
because we live in a consumeristic society,
So I cannot imagine that in the fashion industry they have greenwashing.
No, fashion industry, they don't do that.
You cannot tell me there's any example of...
Every time I buy my underwear in Primark, are you telling me that I am doing something wrong?
Caro, do you have anything on greenwashing and fast fashion?
They don't do
please, don't
together.
Say to me H&M. Please, please.
It can't be H&M.
They have cheap
H&M.
Clothes.
I love H&M and they do this type of thing. Okay.
We're allowed to care about the climate and also be consumers. This is another thing about climate change scientists. We should be expected to, I don't know, make our own clothes and not buy anything, but we are people too. We are people too.
Okay, I have another example, the last one, okay, because I have talked a lot. Okay, we have an H&M case, okay?
Oh.
I don't know if you saw this collection that it's called Conscious Collection.
Yeah, I have.
Did you buy? Yeah, I have my own collection.
I have my 100% recycled cotton t-shirt
My 90% recycled material.
I actually don't know. What is the Conscious Collection?
Of course you don't, Constance.
We will go after this so you can see.
We'll take you to the mall.
Okay, they released this collection, and it's supposed that the clothes were made with just recycled materials, and also like more sustainable activities around it.
Which is a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's like when
you
throw the clothes, like they have like these containers where you put your old clothes and they promise you to use it for a new one.
Yeah,
perfect. Let's all buy
and then give you €5 discount in your next.
When this thing started, like with these boxes, big boxes in Mexico, like for each clothes, like you bring them, you receive 10% coupon. But each clothes, you know, like if you had like 10 jeans or 10 shirts, whatever, like imagine the amount of money you were sparing on it. So for a lot of people, it was like huge thing. But okay, they had this Conscious Collection. Did you understand what is the purpose of this Conscious Collection?
Thanks for explaining.
Okay, okay so this Norwegian...
H&M is also German.
Norwegian.
Norwegian, yeah. Consumer Authority in 2019, they call out H&M because of misleading marketing in relation to this collection, because they were saying that they were exaggerating, like it was like maybe 10% of the shirt was recycled and then the other 90 was not.
What?
So somehow they were like saying like, dude, you're cheating, you know, because
H&M, dude, what the
dude.
Fuck?
You need to think?
Why are you doing this
to me?
Are you doing greenwashing at H&M? Yeah.
How? Dude, come on,
come on, dude.
You are big enough to know that. You know Coca-Cola, you know Volkswagen, you know the examples, and you did it too.
Dude, I throw away my can and my car just to came here.
Where are you making that
book? I stopped drinking Coca-Cola, I stopped using my Volkswagen, now I have to be naked because I cannot buy clothes.
So
walk everywhere naked because you can't buy clothes.
Because of fucking greenwashing.
Okay, you sorry, continue.
You can't eat bio things either. Like, you can't eat, you can't drink anything, you can't have anything. Okay.
We'll have some solutions at the end of how to find,
if we are out there.
How to figure out if you're being greenwashed too.
Okay, that's the point. And then also, like, Coca-Cola, they were, a lot of foundations are activists around this company. They were asking them to, instead of focusing recycle things, they were, like, producing less. But as Coca-Cola said, like, dude, you are asking me to have less money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like...
not gonna happen.
Like, I don't think so, bro.
And the process is only capitalist, I guess. We'll never know.
So this Norwegian Consumer Authority said that they're not proving with evidence that they're actually recycling this material.
Yeah, that the proofs were not enough, you know, like... Yeah, you're... It's like, okay, you are trying to do, like, sustainable collection, but it's not as sustainable as you are selling and you are telling to everybody.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, that's the thing.
That's tragic.
And the thing is that, like, H&M is, like, only one example for
that's
for,
important,
like,
to know.
The broader fashion industry.
Yeah.
And I've got a bit of intel on the fashion industry, and there's on an UN website. They write that, like, the whole fashion industry is like a $2.4 trillion industry. They employ around 300 million people worldwide, but on the other hand, this means that the fashion industry is responsible for up to 2 to 8% of our worldwide
emissions.
Green gas emissions, up to 20% of the world's wastewater.
Wow.
And $100 billion are lost due to underutilized and lack of recycling each year.
Yeah, I guess we will have another episode calling fast
fashion.
Yeah,
super cool. I love shopping.
Now we talked a lot about examples of big ass companies acting on a worldwide level, greenwashing. People in the audience might ask, okay, what can be done against it? I mean, why is our parliament not going against it?
Yeah, why is
it?
The government not doing something to stop greenwashing?
Yeah.
So do we have an example of a country going against greenwashing?
Maybe, yes.
I think we do, because this is my segment.
Finally, good news!
Okay, we're really sad.
Well,
we were crying with the introduction and everything. Leave here again.
Here to save the day. Thank you for that. Introduction or that segue into the segment, because this is about the Canadian government, which is trying to do something about greenwashing, and it's about Bill C-59. So I'm excited to talk about this and break it down.
What is Bill C-59, Liz?
This is a great question. It's basically a law that's just been passed. I think it was passed on June 20th, 2024, and it's aimed at stopping companies from making false environmental claims.
Wait,
AKA,
you said June 2024? Like
June 20th.
Yes,
so
no.
Like,
we're recording
yesterday.
This podcast on July 10th. Yeah, so a couple weeks ago. It's a law aimed at stopping companies from making false environmental claims, AKA greenwashing. The bill says companies have to be able to back up their green claims with solid proof using internationally recognized methods.
Oh.
So internationally recognized scientific methods.
But
these
what happen? Like,
what do you mean?
If they don't do this, like,
great question. what happens if companies can't back up their claims? They could face hefty fines. For example, a company falsely claiming its product is 100% eco-friendly that doesn't have this evidence to back up this claim might be fined $10 million Canadian for the first offense and even more for repeated offenses. To be fair, though, $10 million for a huge company, I think this
and
is nothing.
We're speaking about Canadian dollars, right?
We're also speaking about Canadian dollars for Canada. Okay, so
they can
these
have everything.
These are the big changes. So companies have to provide evidence for environmental claims. So say a company says their product helps restore the environment but doesn't have any scientific proof to back it up, they would get fined. And then...
But I have a question, Lee. For example, if it's the case of the trees, then actually they are like planting trees but not redoing a like reconstruction and ecosystem. They can use this, they can trick this law, or they should demonstrate that they're like doing these.
I think it depends. I think it would depend if the company said we're just planting trees, or we're building ecosystems or habitat, or building planting trees to build ecosystems. I think there's like two distinguishes between those two. But anyways, this law has been very controversial in Canada since it's been passed, especially for the oil and gas industry. So I'm sure it's internationally known that Canada has a lot of oil and gas in their lands. So Pathways Alliance is like a coalition of all of the major oil and gas companies in Canada, Canadian Natural Resources, Cenovus, Imperial Oil, Suncor. If you're from Canada, you know all of these companies. And they've made this Pathways Alliance and have said that they're committed to working together to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from oil sands operations. However, in response to this bill being passed, this coalition removed all of their content from all of their websites, all of their social media, and everything. And this is what their website says. As part of late changes to the Omnibus Bill C-59, omnibus means a proposed law that covers a number of diverse and unrelated topics, imminent amendments to the Competition Act will create significant uncertainty for Canadian companies that want to publicly communicate about the work they are doing to improve their environmental performance, including to address climate change. With uncertainty on how the new law will be interpreted, we have removed all of our content. Well, this is my question. Like, how does this make you feel? So this law has been passed, and then this coalition of huge oil companies who have said they're doing all of this stuff for climate change and sustainability have now removed all of their information from everywhere.
Suddenly.
Yeah. The moment the law passes.
The moment they need to back up their claims scientifically?
Scientifically. Scientifically recognized methods.
And they cannot use their own, like,
and they can't use their own standards or certifications. Exactly. How does this make you feel? Because for me, when I heard this, I was like, I was angry. I was like, of course.
They were making
they're greenwashing everything they're saying about sustainability. Maybe they're trying to make a difference. Maybe they're doing something. I don't know personally. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they've now removed all of their information related to sustainability makes me feel like they've got something to hide.
Yeah, I think the same.
What's happened since it's become a law is environmental groups have been pro this law. Like, they say, you know, it's a crucial step to ensure companies are honest about their environmental claims, combat misinformation, and promote true sustainability. But for big corporations like oil and gas in Canada,
they are not in the way for this law.
Exactly. So it's very controversial in the sense that some companies are very angry about it, removing all of their information, and other environmental groups are supporting it and saying that this should be a law. We should be able to say that if you're claiming this, it's true and you can back it up. And like, it's important to note that Canada is not alone in trying to tackle greenwashing. Yeah. The European Union has introduced strict laws requiring companies to back up their environmental claims. There's some laws in the US that are stepping up its enforcement, but there's a lot of countries that still don't have these laws passed. And to think that this was 2 weeks ago, like, this was crazy. Not a long time ago. And
this is a good news in
2024. Yay, Canada! Yeah.
And I have another question, like, if I can ask. Is only for the companies that want to sell in Canada, or is for the companies that are based in Canada? Like, for example, if Coca-Cola wants to sell in Canada, they have to follow these standards too, or they will say, my base is in Europe, I don't give a fuck about this, I will continue selling my things.
I think that's a really good question. I actually don't know the answer to that.
Send it to Canadian government.
Yeah, we can send it to the government and ask them what
they
say. We have
these things for you to make it better.
This is a good question, and I don't know the answer to it, but I'll look into it. Hmm. Yeah.
I would say this law might hit the companies on the advertisement side.
Yes.
And the reputation. As now they need to be a lot more careful or cannot, like in their advertisement, or cannot continue the same advertisement as before. And kind of the reputation of a company is nowadays worth a lot. I don't know how much in Canadian dollars, but like a Imperial Oil.
Mm-hmm. Imperial.
crazy name. Not being able anymore or allowed to advertise their product as sustainable, would say it's huge.
Yeah, agreed. I think so too. Yeah.
At least I think Canada is doing something, you know, because there are, I haven't heard anything from other countries.
I think there's going to be ways to get around this greenwashing. Like,
yeah,
companies will be brainstorming, trying to come up with ways to navigate around it without getting fines, but to also be greenwashing. So, like, I think that will be something coming up in the next while is, will greenwashing actually stop, or will they just find a way to maneuver around this
law? To evolutionate.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
But then again, on the other side of this front or fight, science is looking at greenwashing for basically since the term was coined, like in 1986 or so. And some guys, it's science, so it's mostly guys, they developed a concept of like a greenwashing indicator, like last year.
Oh.
Where they, as far as like I read, it's like as of now, like conceptual, where they can say, depending on what the company says, kind of writes on the websites and so, and on the international standards, they can like give you like a percentage number of how much greenwashing this company is doing, or how likely the company is doing greenwashing. And this, so it's really difficult to kind of look at each individual company to see how much greenwashing they're doing. And this framework or similar ideas might ease the work for activists, for
lawyers.
This framework makes the work of activists and lawyers easier to detect
how
much companies do greenwash.
I think it's sad though that that has to come from the consumer that has to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To research it instead of, I guess, the government. Like, who else is going to do it? But
A university in Virginia has to do this? Like,
It's
like a good example of normal people, like walking people in the street, not really people with power, to this discourse.
It almost looks like in a capitalist society.
Really? Do you think so?
Like companies kind of prioritize getting richer instead of doing something good.
That seems like not the world we live in.
I think you watch a lot of movies.
You watch too much science fiction, Constance. Okay. On to our next note. So we are lucky to have such a great community of people who are interested in what we're doing.
Thanks, family. Thanks, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever are there.
Thanks for your support.
Thank you for your
Thank
support.
Thank you for listening to the podcast.
3 hours.
No, it's not going to be that long. No.
If you hear this, you should send us a message telling,
if you
good
listen,
job.
If you listen until here, thank you so much.
And send a message telling, good job.
Thank you so much.
So from our community, we've had some people, we reached out and asked if they had any questions about greenwashing. We got a lot of responses and we wanted to answer 4 of kind of the most common questions about greenwashing, I think. And so I think our first one, Constance is going to take over. This is how to recognize that something is greenwashing.
Yeah, so we had a lot of examples of greenwashing. And
you should listen to the whole podcast.
Yeah, so listen to the whole podcast. So if you're watching TV, if you're standing in a grocery store or in front of H&M and you're wondering, is this greenwashing or not? There's a concept of like the 7 sins, and they help you recognize if something is greenwashing. So the first sin of greenwashing is called the sin of the hidden trade-off. So it focuses on a narrow pro-environmental attribute while simultaneously neglecting wider environmental issues. An example would be, as we call, like the recycling thing. Like claiming you want to change plastic straws for paper ones because they're more easily to recycle, while neglecting that recycling is not that easy or only under certain conditions and maybe not that water friendly.
So which
one's better? I would think, this is my mind thinking about paper straws, that because they're paper, they would just like degrade in the environment. Is this true? Would they eventually over a plastic straw that will be there, not degrading for 100 years?
You need to think about the life cycle of the thing. You know, at the end of the cycle, it's better to use paper straws than the plastic ones. But then you need to see also before you do. So you use more resources creating the paper one than creating the plastic one.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I don't use straws. But if you need to use, I don't know, I could buy like a straw and I could use my straw like a lot of time, mm-hmm. instead of just using a straw, paper. Yeah, it's important to think, what are they going to be by the end of the cycle, but also to think about before. Because it's also like nowadays here in Germany and Mexico too, for me it's really stupid. It is what it is, what I think. Because nowadays they don't give like plastic bags anymore in the supermarket, you know, because it's not eco-friendly. Nowadays you just see paper bags.
But that's a good point, because I read like weeks ago a new about how worse are the paper bags,
yeah,
compared to the plastic one.
You use a lot of water and more energy and more resources
yeah.
than the plastic ones.
And also people normally recycle the plastic one, like using
yeah.
for more things,
yeah.
for trash in the house, for continuous shopping. And normally the problem with the paper ones is like they break super faster, so it's kind of one use bag sometimes,
yeah.
you cannot reuse it a lot,
yeah.
so people like mm-hmm. there was a company in Spain like make this point, like it's good and you want to change it, but you need to be careful with the materials that you're using
your,
to do the
yeah,
paper one
yeah.
they should be more resistant if you really want to make
yeah.
a change from plastic
yeah
one.
That's what I'm saying, like you just don't need to think about the end of the cycle, you also need to think about the beginning of the cycle,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And as a company, you can, like, if you just advertise your product as only being better, neglecting the other parts,
it doesn't make sense.
You do greenwash.
Mm-hmm.
And to quickly go back to your straw thing, to your question about how degradable paper straws are,
mm-hmm.
they are degradable, like in the right environment.
Right.
If you just put them in your compost, great. If you throw them away with the rest of your trash,
they don't have anything to break it down.
They don't have anything
yeah.
to break it down,
okay.
so it's just trash, which
yeah.
is gonna get transported to Nigeria or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was the first
okay.
sin. The second sin is the sin of no proof. So making
mm-hmm.
claims without any credible evidence. Like the oil companies in Canada.
Not anymore. Now they have no information. They have no claims because they have no
error.
Yeah.
It's just error information.
They're super green. They have nothing to do.
Yeah, I think this is a good one. No proof. That's
yeah.
a very clear sign of greenwashing.
Yeah, so
yeah.
look out for proofs. The third sin is the sin of vagueness. So using broad and not clearly defined claims and that are likely to be misunderstood by the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So like something is natural, claiming that the company says their product is natural, implying that it is automatically good.
Because mm-hmm. like you say here, uranium is also natural, but not good. Or
yeah.
mercury
yeah.
is a natural product. But...
Yeah, and this sin of vagueness also ties in closely with the next sin. False labels, where companies provide like their own sustainability certificates instead of like labels which are independently certified.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think something is 100% organic certified.
How do you know? Unless it's some industry standard.
The fifth sin is the sin of irrelevance, making something truthful but unimportant because it's something you need to do. We already used an example of the Coca-Cola, that they need to recycle the product. They claim that they're doing something really great out of their own effort, while they just need to do this. It's
mm-hmm.
the bare minimum.
They must
the
do
bare
this.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Like selling the bare minimum as the big thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
The sixth sin is the sin of the lesser of two evils, so making environmental claims about products that are inherently damaging to the environment. Like, natural gas is so much better than coal, let's change our whole system to natural gas and then all our problems are gone. It's not that easy, it's still methane, mostly.
Still a fossil fuel.
Yeah. Still sucks a lot. And finally, the last sin is the sin of fibbling, where companies just lie to you directly.
Yeah.
So straight up misinformation.
Straight up misinformation.
Yeah.
I think you can take any ad of an oil company like Shell where they say how sustainable they are or their product.
Yeah.
Which is like...
A straight up lie.
Straight up lie.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of those advertisements kind of they mix those several sins together. Like they lie into your face while doing the bare minimum,
yeah.
showing some kind of certificates or showing some kind of labels without any like standardized certificates. But the sins are something to look out for in your daily life.
I like these. I think these are helpful. I think you have to still be doing your own background research because you can read something and it can say 100% organic and then you'll have to go somewhere and figure out if this is their own standard or if it's an industry standard or whatnot, but
yeah.
it's good to keep in mind. Moving on to
yeah.
our next community question.
So Liv, do you would like to answer? Is moving all cars to EV really green considering that electric power is not all clean?
This is a good question. And I think a lot of people have this question because there's this huge shift in switching everything, all our vehicles to electric vehicles. Yeah. Overall, this is hard because with, I think it's Newton's second law, for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. Or maybe Newton's third law.
It's Newton's third law.
Sorry about that, everyone. I'm not the best at physics. But there will always be pros and cons to everything we do. Everything with sustainability, there's always going to be a pro. There's always going to be a con. Overall, like considering everything, EVs produce fewer greenhouse gases over their lifetime compared to a traditional gas car, mainly because they're way more efficient at converting energy. So they convert about 85% of the energy from the grid into movement. Gas engines are only around 20 to 30% of energy from gasoline. So you're getting way more mileage for your energy. There's a lot of problems with mining for materials of batteries in EVs, lithium, cobalt. It's not perfect and it does have environmental and social impacts, but I think as things progress and there's more of a shift to cleaner energy, there's a lot of work that goes into making these processes more sustainable. There's also the battery, like the recycling of the battery, or if you can, once it reaches the end of its life. This is also a big problem with EVs, but there's new methods that are using less harmful materials and more efficient recycling, and over the vehicle's lifetime, the total emissions are still lower from an electric vehicle than they would be from a gas vehicle. So overall, the environmental benefit is better. And as technology improves, so does the mining and so does the recycling of the battery, etc. There's a lot of challenges, obviously, battery disposal. But I think overall, we can say that EVs are better than gas vehicles. And you can disagree with me on that if you want.
Use a car until
it dies.
It dies. Exactly. Explode.
And then if you want to buy an electric one, then you can think about it. But right now, if you want to change and just like sell a really good car and change for a new one, it's what I'm telling you. Like, okay, maybe the result is better if you talk about the emission and stuff like that. But if you think before the amount of resources you're going to use and the energy, like where it comes from and stuff like that, then it's not the best deal.
Yeah, also my father, then as I say, he's a mechanist. He also say the same, like, about these cars. Like, it's not about buying it now because they will help the environment. You need to be, like, aware of all the change and this mean for the environment, because it's not only, also, as she say, like, before buying the car, it's also the after you buy the car, what is going on.
True.
Yeah,
I would say this kind of goes into the broader way of don't buy shit only because
it's green, like it's recycled. Yeah,
just
I also think
use your
like
old
that
stuff, be it bags, be it
clothes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go into our next question, which I think kind of relates to this as well. How many of the top 100 companies or corporations are greenwashing?
If you want me to tell you exactly 55.2, I don't have a number right now. I just found that there are like big companies that nowadays we trust, like, or we think that maybe they are doing something good for the environment, but that's not true. For example, as we already talked about, Volkswagen, and it's not the only one, you know, like, it's not the only company that produces cars that is in the list that does greenwashing. There are other ones.
Toyota.
Yeah, Toyota.
Mitsubishi.
Yeah, Toyota, it's also, and also, maybe for sure, it's not a really good surprise, all the fossil fuels companies.
Shocking.
You know,
oh, no!
If you were like, for sure they are not there, they are. They are one of the 100 big companies.
Yeah.
And they also are BP, Exxon, whatever. And other really big ones like food and beverages, like Coca-Cola, that we already said, and also Nestlé, for example.
Yeah, this is a big one.
It's quite big.
Really big, and it's also in the 100, and it is part of it. Starbucks, I mean, we already talked about it. Starbucks is also a big one.
Overpriced coffee, guys.
So it seems like kind of overall, all of the biggest corporations that are selling directly to consumers are participating in some...
You're going to cry with this one, Paola. IKEA.
No! No more hot dogs! No! I want to have my Bordeauxen in my living room.
I don't know what she said.
It's a sofa.
The sofa.
What is IKEA doing?
I have to say that I know what is IKEA.
You already knew that?
Yeah, because I Googled it, because I really like IKEA, and it's with trees. They claim
talking about trees, for deforestation.
And they claimed and they recycle all their, like, things to do a new ones, but actually it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
They destroy more forests to do.
Yeah. So it shouldn't come as a shock, then, to say that a majority of these companies
are greenwashing. I think that, as you were saying, like, the ones that have contact directly with the customers, they are the ones who are in
the ones
greenwashing. Like,
to lie to
also, plastic bottle companies, for example, Evian, these big ones also, too. And I'm really sad that fast fashion brands, Inditex, there is this big group with Zara.
No, Amancio, no.
I'm so sad about it. Why Zara?
Amancio. Mm.
This is a sad reality, but it's good to know,
it is,
I guess.
What it is.
I think our last question from the community for Paula is...
It's a really important question.
This is a really important question, and I think it kind of ties together everything we've talked about today. As consumers ourselves, as people who are listening are also consumers, should I feel guilty for falling for greenwashing when I think I'm doing the right thing?
No.
I shouldn't feel guilty.
No, I think if we need to take... At the end of the day, we are, like, people. We are trying to do our best. At the end of the day, like... People have a lot of problems, and I think going to the supermarket and buying a banana that is from Nicaragua is not my biggest problem right now. I can be losing my house, losing my family, losing a close person in my life. So I think we should try to do our best. That's true. I feel like people really try to do their best when they trying to avoid greenwashing, but at the end, if you buy it without knowing or knowing it, you can feel guilty, of course, to doing, but sometimes you need to figure it out. And it's kind of like you are doing your best in everything that you can do. And if one day you need to buy this banana from Nicaragua, you're not going to die next day to fall into greenwashing, even knowing it's greenwashing.
I think at the end of the day, this pressure and accountability should be put on these corporations.
Exactly, no, indeed.
To be truthful to us consumers, we shouldn't be having to do the research. We shouldn't have to hear this information and then question it because they're lying to us. Like, it should be on them to give us truthful information about what they're doing
exactly,
in their company.
Yeah, it's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes I'm just tired, you know? Like, sometimes it's really tired because everything that you see, like social media or you listening to news, that really bad news, that we're going to hell or stuff like that. Really, really complicated thing. And sometimes I just want to go to Starbucks and buy my Starbucks, you know what I mean? And just forget about everything.
Yeah, we're
and,
not
like,
perfect.
Stop fighting and stuff like that. And I think that's also super valid, but that's my conclusion.
Yeah, you don't need to be an activist in all the ways of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think we need to mention that some people cannot afford these things.
Sustainable options, sustainable clothing.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't have money to go to a good shop to buy me clothes, so I need to go to Primark, I need to go to H&M because I don't have the money.
Or thrift shopping, which we also do a lot of.
But nowadays it's on trend and it's getting expensive. Yes. And some people kind of not go to this place anymore.
Yeah.
But if you can do your best... It's good.
Do your best. Yeah.
Exactly. But it doesn't mean that you have to be better than others or have the same statement than other people that have money enough. You should be able to do your best in your statement.
I think that's a great conclusion. Just everyone be your best self.
Of course, we always buy a fucking avocado from Mexico City. In Germany, they don't taste like nothing.
Mexico City doesn't have avocado.
We hope that you learned something about greenwashing.
And I hope you kind of enjoy the podcast.
And we also really hope you enjoyed our podcast.
That didn't stop listening to it.
If you're still
first
listening,
two minutes, you know, like, I hate them.
As soon as you hear Paula's voice.
Thank you so much.
We need money for the podcast. Look this room.
Our next podcast it's going to be on fast fashion, so we'll dive kind of more into Zara and maybe H&M and some other companies.
Yes.
So if you have any questions on fast fashion, if you want to know more about greenwashing, if you want to know more about how it impacts the climate, etc., drop us a line and
send us a direct message.
DM us on Instagram and we'll have your question in the next podcast.
Yeah.
Until then.
On veut des tours d'avion, des Airbus, du diesel, des mandarines toutes les saisons, des grands voyages dans le ciel, du high-tech à la maison de la nouvelle technologie. On veut pouvoir dire
pardon et soulager son esprit. On veut de la viande d'Argentine, de la biloche à tous les repas, de la world food dans la cuisine. On veut du sucre, on veut du gras, on veut moins cher, on veut meilleur, on veut toujours un peu d'ailleurs. On veut la mer, on veut l'été, même en hiver, on veut bronzer. On veut du green. C'est nous les as, les Pinocchio du marketing. On veut du green. On cache les galets sous le sable. On veut des plages de sable blanc, du réseau pour nos portables. On voudrait quatre bars tout le temps, des orgies raisonnables, des grands échangeurs de béton et des amis toujours joignables. On veut des baleines et du thon. On veut du green. On veut de l'eau toujours qui coule et des rides un peu moins creusées. On veut de la jeunesse en poudre et puis de la neige en été. Des grands buildings sous le soleil, des monuments pharaoniques. On veut partout, partout pareil, de la wifi, du numérique. On veut du green. C'est nous les as, les Pinocchio du marketing. On veut du green. On veut des lessives sans phosphate, des shampoings tout organiques. Des forêts pour nos 4x4, du charbon dans nos cosmétiques. Des slogans abusifs, plus blanc que blanc, plus vert que vert. Mascarade écologique pendant qu'on shoot au nucléaire. On veut du green. On veut du green. On veut pouvoir dire pardon et soulager son esprit. On veut du Green, 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 washing.